which was due to circumstances which I'm not prepared to go into at the moment. All I want to say is that I'm very pleased to be back, and it was rather interesting to send such as a private citizen in Yerushalayim. And although Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim has worked its magic, if I never hear Nusach Sfard again, I won't be disappointed. So let's then have a look at Parshas Kedoshim. And we're a better place to begin than at the beginning. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor, Daber el kol adaf b'nei Yisroel, v'yomartu aleihem kedoshim tiyu, ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. So the instruction is, Daber el kol adaf b'nei Yisroel. And Rashi comments. And Rashi says, Melameid, this comes to teach us, Shenemro Parsha Zuba Hakeil, that this parsha was said to the entire congregation, Shenei Sherov Gufei Torah Teluyim Bo, because the Gufei Torah, whatever they are Teluyim Bo, whatever that means. So the first thing that I want to draw your attention to is the fact that Rashi is obviously commenting on the phrase Kol Adaf Bnei Yisroel. Now we know, or we should know, that this is not the first time that this phrase is found in the Torah. At the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, Vayakel Moshe, Eskol Adaf Bnei Yisroel. In Parshas Vayakel, it says further, Vayomer Moshe, Elokol Adaf Bnei Yisroel. And in neither of those cases does Rashi offer any comment. So the masculine David is moved to ask, why is it that only here Rashi comments on the phrase El Kol Adaf Bnei Yisroel? And the masculine David answers very simply. Because in the two cases that I have just mentioned from Parshas Vayakel, we are speaking about a situation which happened. Come to us, assembled Kol Adaf Bnei Yisroel. And Moshe Rabbeinu spoke Kol Adaf Bnei Yisroel. But in here, there is an explicit instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Rashi is moved to ask, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicated to Moshe Rabbeinu on this particular occasion that you are supposed to speak El Kol Adaf Bnei Yisroel to the entire people? So, the first problem that we raise, why did Rashi never comment on this phrase before? And the answer is, because this is the first time that this phrase is found in the context of a command by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. You may ask further, says the masculine David, but surely the Torah was always said to the entire people. So what's the finish? Daver el kol adaf b'nei Yisroel. The entire people are always the Torah. The answer, says the masculine David, is that we know from the Gemara in Eilevin in Daf Nun Dalet, and Rashi refers to this particular theme in Parshas Kisisa and in Parshas Matos. The Torah was never given in one fell swoop, as it were, to the entire people. But it was given in a certain sequence. First it was given to Aharon, then it was given to Aharon's sons, then it was given to the Zakenim, then it was given to the people. And there was a procedure which was gone through every time a parcel was given to Bnei Yisroel. What we are being told here, says the masculine David, is that on this particular occasion, this parcel was given once and once only. Parcel Zu Nemro Bahakel, it was addressed to the entire people, and those stages mentioned in the Gemara were not gone through. All that remains is why it is. Why is it that the Torah, this parsha, was not given in the same procedure as the other parsha? Namely, first to Aharon, then to the children, then to the Zakenim, the Siyam, etc. The answer is, Mipenei Sherov Gufei Torah Teluyim Bo. Says the masculine David, what are these Gufei Torah? And if we are referring to what is written down in this particular parsha, which is the answer to our question, why does Rashi not say, Nifenei Sherov Gufei Torah Kisulim Bo? Because these Gufei Torah are written down in this parsha. Says the masculine David most beautifully.
truth of the matter is that truth told us refer to are the basic principles of Torah which were originally enunciated in the Aseret HaDibros. They are the Gufei Torah. They are the, as it were, the kernel of the Torah. It's not saying if an Eshero Gufei Torah Kesuvim Ba, because in reality the Aseret HaDibros were given in Parshas Yisro. What we have in this Parshas, says the Maskele David, is a repetition of those same Aseret HaDibros. And they are repeated only so that we should know some additional chidushim, minutiae, in these mitzvot. Gufei Torah are teluyim bo in this parsha, which is most correctly translated as the Gufei Torah of the Aseret HaDibros are summarized in this parsha. So why is it that this parsha was not given in the stages that all the other parshiyos of the Torah were given in, says the Maskil of David? Because you only have to go through that procedure when you are introducing parshiyos for the first time. But since on this occasion we are introducing items which have been mentioned before, Kibud Avoim, Ishimo V'yoviv Kiro, Sofras Yom HaShabbos, Eskabto Saitis Moru, Losu Sachad Elohim Elos Avodim, Al Tifnu Halo Elinim. So since we are not introducing parshiyos which are entirely new, but are merely introducing parshiyos which are well known to us, but are mentioning them again in order to add some new pratim which have to be mentioned. Example, the juxtaposition of Sabbath and Kibud Av V'Aim is to tell you that if a parent commands a child to contravene one of the laws of the Torah, the child is not supposed to obey the parent, but is supposed to listen to the words of the Torah. Kulechem chayovim bichvodi, as the Gemara says in Yevamim Tavvavo Bedalof. So therefore, there's nothing new in the mitzvah of Kibudav. There's nothing new in the mitzvah of Shmirat Shabbos in the sense that there is no new elaboration of a general principle. What we have here is the introduction of some extra elements in these mitzvahs, for which these and these parshiyos are repeated again. So again, just to summarize, the reason why this parsha is written, is given by Hakeil, is because we are presenting items which are already known to us in general outline elsewhere, and since that is so, we don't have to go through that procedure of each individual stage, but we go to Hakeil all in one go, and that's the fact. Let me now move on to something which is, to my mind, most interesting. And it is, quite at the beginning of the parsha, it's in Posuk Yud Aleph. As most of you will know, the parsha of Kedoshim is this. Mali v'godush it is. The question is not what to say, the question is what to leave out. Lo tignovu, which is translated literally as don't steal. Let's have a look at Rashi. Lo tignovu, as the horror, this is a warning, legones mamon, against stealing property. Avolo tignov shebiyaseres hadibros, but the prohibition of lo tignov in the Ten Commandments in Parshas Yisro, that is an as horror legonev nefosov, that is a prohibition against kidnapping. How do I know? Says Lashi. Dovor halomeid me in yono. Dovor shechayovin olav misas beisti. We know that the lo tignov in the Aseret HaDibros is regarding kidnapping of an individual. Why? Because that is found in the context of other prohibitions for which the penalty is death. Therefore it must be a geneva for which the penalty is death. And the only type of geneva for which the penalty is death is v'gonev ish u'mechoro v'nimtso v'yodo, most you must. If you kidnap an individual and sell him or her, the penalty is death. Consequently, contextually, we know that lo tignov in the Aseret HaDibros is in regards to kidnapping. Lo tignovu, likewise, can be seen to refer to the stealing of property. Because if you look in contextually, you will see that we are speaking about various laws which are regarding the property of another, as we see from the opening psukim in Parshas Kedoshim. So what we have determined through Rashi is that lo tignovu is begonev mamon, it's a prohibition against stealing property, and lo tignov, in regards to the Aseres HaDibros, is speaking about the prohibition against kidnapping. The problem which Rashi does not address is very simple. The prohibition against stealing property is found in the plural. Lo tignovu, with prohibition against kidnapping, is found in the singular. So we have to ask ourselves, why? Let us first draw your attention to the Ibn Ezra on Lo Tignovu. Says the Ibn Ezra, Ki horo'eh u'macharis gam hu ganov. The use of the plural is to indicate that if I were to see somebody else stealing, and I were to keep silent and to allow it to take place, I am also a guilty party in that thievery, in that robbery. Ki horo'eh u'macharis, it comes to tell you that the one who looks on and keeps quiet, gam hu ganov, he is also a ganov. That's the Ibn Ezra. Surah Tamimo quotes the Revit HaZohov. The Revit HaZohov, one of the great Torah scholars around the time of the Gaon of Vilna, and he says that the use of the plural is in order to remind you of a comment which is made in the Medrash Rabbah in Sefer Bereishis. It says there, Shehayudonim es mekablei hageneva kiganovim. Fences who used to receive stolen property from the ganovim, they were adjudged as the thieves themselves. Why? Says the Medrash, Delo achbor oganov, Elo chor oganov. Because the rabbis put it in their own poetic way, it's not the rat that steals the cheese, it's the lair. Because since the rat knows that it's somewhere that it can bring what it steals back and can eat it safely, that is what encourages it to go out and steal. But if it wouldn't have a lair to take it back to, then it wouldn't be so eager and so anxious to steal. Therefore, Lo Tignovu comes to tell you, the use of the plural, that not only is the individual who does the actual robbery, not only is that person culpable, but the individual who actually purchases what is stolen is also considered to be part of the ganav. I have to tell you the honest truth. After I've looked at the Ibn Ezra, and after I've looked at the Revit HaZohov, I still cannot find out why it is that one is in the plural and one is in the singular. Because even if we were to take the case of the Ibn Ezra, surely the Ibn Ezra would agree that if I look on and see somebody kidnapped, I'm also equally culpable as if I were to stand by and watch property being stolen. Or in the case of the Levit Azov, do I not count the person to whom a person is sold equally culpable as the person who actually kidnapped him? So it's difficult to understand on the basis of the Ibn Ezra and the Revit HaZohov still why it is that the Lo Tignov kidnapping soul should be in the singular and Lo Tignovu, the prohibition against stealing property, should be in the plural. Well, I have come across a very beautiful interpretation in the Be'er Yosef. It looks a little long, but as we will see, the point is made very beautifully. The Tzorich Bozer Tam. We need to ask ourselves, Lama Begonev Neforshos Nema Lo Tignov Lotin Yochid. Why in the case of kidnapping an individual is the prohibition in the singular? Ubegonev Momo Nema Lo Tignovu. And in the case of stealing property, it is mentioned in the plural, Lishon Rabin. So the Be'er Yosef says, I am the Meforishim, referring to the Ibn Ezra and the Levit HaZohov, whom we have referred to. Ah, you might say to me, maybe the use of the singular in the case of kidnapping is in order to imply that if two people together in joint partnership were to kidnap and sell an individual, the punishment would not be meted out. It's only meted out if one person is involved. And we know, in fact, that there is such a theme, that when two people do something on Sabbath together, Shanayim Seyotu, they are not Chayiv Nisa. So maybe the same law applies to the kidnapping and selling of an individual, that it is only Chayiv Nisa when it is perpetrated by an individual, but if it is perpetrated by two or more, there is no liability in Jewish law to the punishment. So he says like this, Tilech Ure, on the contrary, Kemo Begonev Momon, in the same way as when we deal with the theft of property, Im Shnayim O Shalosha Yignehu, of two or three steal, Kulam Ovdim Chayovim, all of them are considered transgressors and are liable to punishment. Kain Gambina Forsos. It should be the same deen when you kidnap an individual. Im Shnayim Yignehu Nefesh, if two people will steal an individual, Vim Kuru, and will sell him, Yehiyu Shnayim Shnayim Chayov Matinu Misho. So therefore, that is not a reason to suggest because it doesn't hold water. So we're back to square one. Why is it in the case of stealing property, the use of the plural, and in the case of kidnapping an individual, the use of the singular? Let's go a little further. V'yesh kalomar, the beginning of the new paragraph. I would like to suggest the following answer. It's a masterpiece. Al pi ma'asha omru b'gemara b'bobatama chob zayin amid beis. I would like to suggest that the use of the plural is mentioned in regard to stealing property on the basis of a Gemara and Bava Kama. Ben Bagbag Omer. Ben Bagbag say, Al tikones lechatar chabeilecha litol eschelecha shelo b'rishus. If somebody stole something from you, do not go into that person's property. Genesis. In order to steal back your property. Because you will then appear to be a ganav. Something was stolen from you, is no heter for you to go and steal it back again. Hello, what, says Ben Bagbag? Go up to the ganav and break his teeth. Vemolo, and say to him, Sheli ani no tail, I'm taking back what belongs to me. Don't do it surreptitiously. Don't do it as a thief. Go up to him and say, I am going to take my property back. The rabbis don't argue with Ben Bagbag. There is a variety of opinion. One opinion is, that the rabbis also agree with Ben Bagbag that you should actually go in and take him to a din Torah, but not forcibly go in and take your property. And there are others who say that that is even Ben Bagbag's opinion, that when he says Shavod Esinov, he doesn't mean to actually go in and break his teeth and take it by force, but rather that he agrees with the Rabbonon that the person should be taken to a din Torah. The rabbis don't argue with Ben Bagbag. There are two opinions. Im Rabbonon Pligi Olo Bozeh. Do the rabbis actually argue with Ben Bagbag? Oh, the gam who so vergelo of it in his stealing enough, say? Or it could very well be that Ben Bagbag is also of the opinion that you're not allowed even to go in and take what is yours by force. Ah, you ma, shavodeshinov. What does it mean by saying break his teeth in the words of Ben Bagbag? Sheyeleich imo ledin. It means that he is entitled to bring him to a din Torah. Now we're not going to go into the nuances of the machluk. What is essential to realize is the Ber Yosef. Avol kulam modu. But Dr. Rabbonon and Ben Bagbag agree. Osur li koneis l'reshus chavero shelo v'reshus. If somebody has stolen something from you, according to Jewish law, you are not allowed to steal it back. Kedei shelo yelo e'olov kegarav, because then you look at the thief. It makes no difference what you are taking. It is when you do it in a manner of thievery, you are considered to be a thief. And the Gemara says likewise in Gemara Brochus. The Gemara says there the most interesting episode.
Rav Huna takifole arba meya doni de chamro. Rav Huna, the great Rav Huna, 4 barrels of wine went sour on him. V'yomrile rabbonon. And the rabbi said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish without cause. La'ayin ma'abimile. We think you must be guilty of something. Otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have punished you in this way. So what did they say to him? Omrile, they said to Rav Huna, Hochi shamialon. We heard about you. Delo yohiv ma shabishili ali say that you have hired workers during your harvest, and those people who work during the harvesting of the vine and the grapes are entitled to certain vines as part of their wages, and you didn't give it to them. You wouldn't allow them to take the vines. Omar lehu, so he said to them, Mr. Shabbat liminei, hoko gonib lechulei. Not the vines I should give them. Stealing me dry. They're not, and then they're taking much more than they are entitled to take from the grapes themselves. Look, I should give them the vines as well. Omrulei, so the rabbi said to Rav Huna, Haine de Omriin, you must remember what people say, Boster ganve ganov, the tam etoyim, even if you steal from ganovim, so faith ganeva. It's still faulty. Says the Be'er Yosef, so what we have, concluded from these two passages is that when something is stolen from you, oh yes, bring him to a din Torah, and according to one opinion in the Gemara, even go in plain daylight and forcibly take back what is yours, but you're not permitted, according to Jewish law, to steal it back. The Be'er Yosef, next paragraph, Umitam ze kosvo kan ha-Torah, Lo tignovu. Just when it comes to the thieving of property, the plural is used. Hainu, to tell you, vein al aganav, uvein al anignav, that whether we're speaking about the one who stole, or the one who was stolen from, al shenehem chala hoaz horo. On both of them, this prohibition against stealing devolves. De gam hanignav muza shelo yignav mehagin, may haganovos, may hagonevoso, hadovo, shegonav mime. Not only is a person not allowed to steal property from another, but you're not even allowed to steal back your own property. Says the Ver Yosef, Bitsubro isi, and I found later on, Shomnom kein omru shom besafro, that the safro, which is chazal on vayikro, have said exactly the same thing. On the words lo tignovu, then bag bag omer, lo tignov es shelacha meyachala ganov. Don't steal back what belongs to you from the person who stole it. Aye, when we deal with a person who has kidnapped an individual, the individual has got to use every possible means at his disposal to get the clutches of the person who has kidnapped him. So that's why lo tignov is found in the case of a person who is himself captured or kidnapped, then farsetlich, that person has got to get out whatever way he can, surreptitiously, openly, whatever it may be. Says the Ver Yosef, lo tignovu in the plural is because it is a prohibition against a person stealing property of another, and there is also a prohibition on the person whose property was stolen from stealing it back. Because, as the rabbis indicate, even when you ganve from the ganav, it still has a term of the name. So that's the lo tignovu beloshen rabbin by property, and the lo tignovu beloshen yochid by the body. Now, my friends, let's move on to most probably what is the most famous of all the comments in the entire part of Kedoshim, v'yohavta l'reacha kamoch. That we find, of course, in Pasuk Yudches. Here, what I want to draw your attention to is the Kli Yochor. The Yochor has something very, very beautiful. Says the Kli Yochor. Omru Chazal, our rabbis have indicated, Ze Klal Godol Batorah. This is a general principle in Torah. Interestingly, as you will see in Rashi, that this comment is made in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Omer Rabbi Akiva ze klal godel batura. And it is rather interesting to note that it was Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, 24,000 of them, who died during the time of the Sfira, Lipeneshila Noagu Kovo Zebaze, because they didn't give honor one to the other. So it's rather interesting that Rabbi Akiva is the one who says Zeklau Godel Batura, and it is his own Talmidim who violated this principle and did not have the appropriate kovod for each other which they should have had. Somebody has once suggested that what Rabbi Akiva is saying here is in the form of bemoaning the situation. Klal Godel Batura. It's a big klal in the Torah, but not in everyday life. It looks lovely in the Torah, but many people have allowed it to remain in the realms of theory and haven't put it into practice. The Klal Godel Batura of Anish Bachayim. But be that as it may, let's have a look at the Kriyok. Omru Razal the Klal Godel Batura. What I want to draw your attention to is the Masechta Shabbos. Maisa b'Yahu Geir. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph. What happened was with a prospective convert, Sha'omar, who said to Hillel, Lamdeini kol haTorah, teach me the entire Torah, kishe'ani omeid al regel echad, while I'm standing on one foot. The limdo Hillel, posuk v'yahafta l'reacha kamocha. And Hillel taught him the verse, v'yahafta l'reacha kamocha, although he didn't say so in those words, but he put it rather in the negative. Kol di'aloch, sonny, l'chavroch, lo savit. Be faithful to you, don't do to your fellow. Ze'idach pelusha, the rest is commentary, zil gemor, go out and learn. So what did Hillel say to him? So when we see the Gemara, he told him, v'yahafta l'reacha kamocha, that is the entire basis of Yiddishkeit. Ukefi hanireh, and the way I understand the Gemara, shahager hoya ger tzedek, the ger, this would-be convert, was a righteous gentleman. V'lo hoya mehaseil hisulim. And he was mocking, lomar bederech sechok, to suggest in a frivolous manner, Sheyelamdo kol haTorah, that Hillel should teach him the Torah, v'yotshehu omid al regel echad mamish, while he's standing actually on one foot. That's not what he wanted at all, says the Kliyoker. Elovadai bikesh mamish, but he was actually requesting from Hillel, Sheyamidlo kol mitzvot haTorah al yesod echad, that Hillel should give him a basic principle which is the guiding light of all the mitzvot of the Torah. And that was referred to as regel echad, one foot, and sherolov yamidlo kol hamitzvos. Why did he want a basic principle? Simply, kidei shelo yavol lidei shikcha hametzuya beger, because, you know, here is a fellow who never learned Torah, and he's more than likely to forget if he is given a multitude of details. So what he wants is one basic principle which he will find easy to remember. If you're talking about a guy who's never learned Torah before, he wants to have it presented in as simple a fashion as possible. Al Kain, therefore, bikesh mimenu, he asked him, solo klal echad, that he should give him over one principle, hakoleil kol haTorah, which embraces the entire Torah. The alderach hamelitza, and he put it in a symbolic way to Hillel. Kishani omeid al regel echad, while I'm standing on one foot. But as I have explained to the Kriyokar, he really wants a basic principle which is at the root of the Torah. The Kavonoso, and his intention in this request was, Limsoelo, that Hillel should give him over Dovor, Hanema, Mehela, Beloshen, Kotzer. That Hillel should give him over something which can be stated quite short, concisely, for Hainu Gamkein, and that is what you refer to as a Yesod and Regel Echod, the Aliadesha Yiskor Klauze Yiskoris Komitzos Hashem. And when he remembers this basic principle, then he will remember the entire Torah. So what he wants is, he wants one guiding idea. Now, Zimdo Pasuk V'yohafzal Re'echa Kamocha, Ani Hashem. That's the big Kiddush of the Kriyoka. Didn't just say to him, v'yahafta l'reacha kamocha, but he gave him v'yahafta l'reacha kamocha, ani Hashem. How do I know that he gave him over the entire section that I've just mentioned? I'll tell you why. Kitvar Amru Razal, because the rabbis have told us.
The prophet who also
sought to establish basic principles on which the Torah stands. And the Gemara at the end of Makkos tells us, Bo Habakkuk, that the Novi Habakkuk came, Behemi Don Alachas, and he established the Torah on one basic principle, and that was the Posuk, Betzadik Be'emunoso Yichyeh, the righteous man shall live by his faith. Now,
so the Tliyokos.
Here we have a principle which is given over by the Novi. Tzadik Be'emunoso Yichyeh. The righteous man shall live by his faith. On the other hand, we have the principle enunciated by Hillel. Contradiction? Are they both giving us different principles on which to base the entire Torah? Says the Kliyokor, no. Blessed Hillel, and he wanted to have the mitzvot al regal echod, which is the yesod echod l'chol sug. He wanted a guiding light for mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro, and he wanted a basic principle for mitzvot ben adam l'amoko. Is the Alkane or Malo, so therefore, in regards to the mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, he gave him the poskevi a haftal reach or kamocho. The al regal zehem id lokal a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro. But in regards to the mitzvah ben adam l'amoko, the principle which is at the root of those is ani hashem. Tahainu hayesod she'olov hemid chabakuk kol mitzvah ha'torah tahainu hu emuno b'Hashem. So therefore, the Kliyokor proposes a very novel approach in the Gemara there, and that is that Geller wanted a guiding principle, and he was given the Ohavta L'Reacha Kamocha. You should know, says the Kliyokor, that he was given not only the Ohavta L'Reacha, but also the concluding words of the Posuk Ani Hashem, because there's no way that the Ohavta L'Reacha Kamocha can be a basic principle in Mitzvos Ben Adam L'Mokom. In mitzvah between man and God, this can only be a basic principle in mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro. So therefore, he has to have given him ani hashem, because that is the guiding principle for mitzvah ben adam l'mokom. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman has a completely different approach. Let us have a look in the Kovetz Mamon. And here we have a, as you know from Rabbi Elchanan, it's a tragedy that he didn't write more and more of what he said was not committed to writing. The pathos of what he has to say is something very, very extraordinary. He comes on to the Gemara that I, Kliyokor, referred to, the Aloch Sani Lechavroch Lo Savid, what is distasteful to yourself, don't do to your fellow, Zuhi Kol HaTorah, that's the basic principle of Torah, the Idr Perushahi, and the rest is commentary. Now, Ukim Slashi Veloshin Echot, and Rashi said like this, Chavirecho Mamish, when we're speaking about what is distasteful to your fellow, we're speaking about your fellow man. Meaning, Gezela, Geneva, the Rav HaMitzvot. So Rashi is saying, says Rebel Chanan, that the Ahasalarecho Kamocha is not merely a basic principle for Mitzvot Ben Adam L'Chaviro, but it's a principle for Rav Hamid, the majority of mitzvot, which by its very nature must embrace mitzvot ben adam l'mokom. So therefore, Rebbe Elchanan's question is, how can the Ohavta L'Reacha Kamocha be a basis and guiding light for mitzvot ben adam l'mokom? And he is not prepared to answer like the Kliyokor that Ani Hashem was mentioned, because there's no indication in the Gemara that he said anything more than the equivalent of the Ohavta L'Reacha. The kosher, says Rebbe Elchanan, it's difficult. To ha'atinach, I can understand how mitzvos shebein adam l'chaveiro, mitzvos between man and man, shape nichlelu bozeh, they are included in the Ohavta L'Reacha Kamocha. Aval kol chilek ha'tura shebein adam l'mokom, l'chura ein shan tzval bozeh. But it would appear, initially, that the mitzvos shebein adam l'mokom have nothing at all to do with the Ohavta L'Reacha Kamocha. But he says, it's not so. And here we have a most beautiful interpretation. Yev Shalomar, I would like to show you how the Ohavta L'Reacha Kamocha
is a basic principle not only for mitzvos ben adam lachavura, which is obvious, but also for mitzvos ben adam lamokal. I would like to explain it on the basis of the Gemara at the end of the first chapter of Kiddushin. Le'olam yireh adam es atzmo, person should always imagine himself, ke'ilu hu mechsa chayiv hu mechsa zakai, as if he's 50-50. And half empty. Kulo, and should imagine as if the entire world is Metsa Zakai or Metsa Chayu. 50-50. Zakai Chayu. His entire personality and where it will go depends ultimately on the next action of the individual. Right? If he will now go ahead and do an Avera, because he has the balance of his own personality and the balance of the entire world onto the side of guilt. Going on here. What does the man do with one of Aaron? Vihine motzinu pa'omim harde batura. The following. So magnificent. I want to explain that Gemara in the following way. We find on many occasions in the Torah and Tumah. That's philosophy. We have Kedusha and we have Tumah. The story of Mahuvin Shuton Seldevorim Elu. To understand the simple understanding of these terms. Hatura, Hagenuzos was there. Apart from the mystical ideas which are contained in these terms and Tumah. Seldevorim Chonon. And it's thought. Venire Biur Advorim. The notion of what Kedusha is and what Tumah is as follows. Asher Mitzius HaPel V'Hora Sheyeshnon B'Yoylam. There is good in the world and there is evil in the world. They are reality. Where good come from? Where does evil come from? So long, their source is Mitzius HaKedusha V'HaTumah. Source is in those themes of Kedusha and Tumah. If you want to know what is the source of good in the world, it comes from the fact that there exists something called Kedusha. And where there not the existence of Kedusha in our world, then there would be no good in the world. And the world could not exist. Sivas kol hora, and if you want to know what is the cause of evil in the world, timi mitzius hatuma derived from the fact that there is tuma in the world. When the spirit of tuma will be destroyed in the time of Moshiach, then evil will disappear. And the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Because death comes about through Ra. Through Tumah. And when there is no longer any Tumah, everything which is bad and evil in the world, including death, will disappear. And the person fulfills the commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who becomes Atmo, he sanctifies himself, finishes for Kedusha, Ba'olam, and contributes to an increase of Kedusha in the world, Umemelem is Rabbe Tova, Ba'olam. And since the good in the world is Kedusha, the more Kedusha there is in the world, the more good there is in the world. Okishihu over Aveira. And likewise, when a person commits an Aveira, Humetame Yasatmo, he defiles himself, who may be tumor yolam and brings uncleanliness to the world, and through that evil increases in the world. The ein lecha masit godel yaisem is there. So on this reflection, can you have a greater harmful personality in the world than the person who commits adhulu? every aveira that he transgresses, who mazik lecholo olam. Is the basis of all the mitzvot?
Because the more mitzvot you do, the greater kedusha you bring into the world, and the more kedusha there is in the world, the greater good there is in the world.
So therefore, the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha is telling you, do you want to do good to your fellow? Do you know how you do it? Do more mitzvot. Because the more mitzvot you do, the kedusha there will be in the world. And the more kedusha there will be in the world, the more good there will be in the world. The yin, and if that is so, gam chelek ha-Torah shebin odom lamokom, even that part of Torah which is between man and God, niflal, is included in the general precept of the chol ma'adi aloch tani lechabroch tosad. Whatever you don't want somebody to do to you, don't do to your friend. In the same way as you wouldn't want them to harm you, don't harm them. How do you harm them? By committing aveiros. Because the more aveiros you do, the more tumor there is in the world. The more tumor there is in the world, the more bad. Particular. Let me just conclude the sidra before I move on to something else with a comment that I'd like to bring to your attention. I believe is a very powerful comment at the very end of the part. And I believe it is something that cannot be said often enough. The Hivdaltem, says the Pasuk, and you shall distinguish. Bein ha-behema ha-tehoro la-temeo. Between kosher behemos and the non-kosher. In ho-ruf ha-tomen la-tehoro, and between the unclean fowl and the clean fowl. That's one great rabbi. Of animals, tehoro comes before temeo. And in the case of oath, Tomei comes before Torah. Why is the Torah be consistent? If you started by Habehema Hatahora Latameya, so keep it consistent and say, Ven Oro Patahora Tomei. Why is it? Say, it is well known from the Gemara in Chulin that there are less behemoths in the world than Tomeo. And it is likewise well known that there are less ophos to melon than him. And whenever the verb mavdil is used, you always speak about distinguishing between A and B, and the least is always put first. The hivdal tem, bein habehema hatahoro latameo, because there are less behemos tahoros than tomeos. And when it comes to the ophos, the tori comes first, because there are less ophos to Mayim than there are. Says the rabbi, now we understand that when we prepare for a new week and we make Havdalah, we are saying not only that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mavdil ben Kodesh l'Chol, that God distinguishes between Kodesh and Chol. We are reminding ourselves as we go into a new week that there is less Kodesh than Chol in the world. They know La Choshech. Not only that our Kodesh Baruch Hu distinguishes between light and darkness, but that there is less light than darkness in the world. Bein Yisroel Lo Amin. We are reminding ourselves not only that our Kodesh Baruch Hu distinguishes between Yisroel and the nations of the world, but reminding ourselves that we are in a minority and how careful we have to be. So the Nusach Havdalah is not just praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is reminding ourselves there is less Kodesh than Chol, there is less Or than Choshech, and there are less Yisroel than Am Umo Chol. Well worth it. What I want to offer to close our seer this evening, since we find ourselves this week between Yom HaShoah last Thursday and Yom HaAtzmaut is coming, I want to draw your attention to a sefer that most probably you don't know anything about. It's a sefer called Eim Havonim Semecha. Let me tell you a little bit about this particular sefer. The name of the sefer rabbi, a posek, one of the gedolei hador of pre-war Europe, Shlomo Yisachar Teichtal, Hashem Yimkom Domo, who died in the Shoah. He was a Hungarian rabbi, and he wrote Silas Chuvis Mishnah Tzochir, which has recently been reprinted. So Shlomo Zalman in the Hakdama says to him, Hagon Hagodol Hamufla. Gonoil. He was brought up in the strict Hungarian tradition. The Zionism of returning to Israel and making it a refuge for the Jewish people was anathema. They didn't want to learn from it. And that's the tradition that he grew up in. And let us be quite fair, during World War I and World War II, matters started to ease somewhat for Hungarian Jewry. In the 1930s, when Hitler Yamachimo Vizichlo started to rise to power, Rav Tarsal had Chagota. He never exhorted people to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he sat down, and against his background, he wrote the Sefer Eim Habonim Smecha, encouraging people to go to Eretz Yisrael, and how vital it was that we should make our home there. And the Sefer, I have not been able to obtain it, because it's been out of print for years, and my delight when I passed by a shop in HaMelech George, on Cholomoid, and discovered that it had been reprinted. Give you a little taste of this Sefer, my friend. This is taken from Eim Habonim. And this is a man who died in the Shoah. And this is one of the Gedolei Hador. This is not propaganda, my friend. We'll go a minute or two over the time. You'll believe me when I tell you every minute will be worthwhile.
Ilmod me Yaakov Avinu. He will now strive to learn from Yaakov Avinu. That at the beginning of Parshas Vayikrach, when we know that he was in fear of his eventual confrontation with Esau, Hishtadel mitechila, what did he try to do to begin with? He wanted to rescue his property so that it shouldn't fall into the hands of Esau. Kedichshiv, as the pasuk says, Vayaaveir Esau Sherlo, and he carried over all that belonged to him over the board of Yabok. Vayaaveir Esmavor Yabok. And Rashi says, in the name of the Medrash, what is it, Esau Sherlo, that he brought over? Habehema v'hametautelim, his cattle and his cattle. Also, Atmo Kegesher, he made himself like a bridge. He straddled the river. No tell me can, taking property from one side,
umaniach can, and putting it down on me.
I can listen. Says the author, tell us, this statement of Rashi is extraordinary. How is it possible? How is it possible? The energy, how effectively, all the behemoths and the wealth that he had from one side of the river to the other. Ayin b'shalom, Parshas Vayikra. Look into the shalom, Shehendi Medrash, who brings a Medrash. That even the gift that he sent to Esau consisted of 600,000 herds of cattle. And for each of those herds, he needed a dog. 600,000 dogs together with 600,000 herds of sheep. One dog for each herd.
And if he sent that much to Esau, he most probably kept more for himself. He's talking here in the hundreds of thousands.
So I ask you, says Rav Teichtal, how did you be able to bring over all these items in his two hands? By putting one foot on one side, and his other foot on the other side. the also atmo kegesher. And he makes it like a bridge. Vegan. And that's your little kasher. Lama hoyo nitzvah. What do you need to do? Place where it's shallow. What's that written? He's standing 1 foot on this side, 1 foot on the other, and he's carrying hundreds of thousands of cattle.
Who?
Says Rav Teichtel. Ach nire, it appears to me, the Ramzu Bozeh Mutar Hafkir Lanu Zereyak. I believe that what Rashi is saying has to be taken figuratively and not. Shemimenu Nilmad Vechena, telling us what we. Ukvar Hevesi Liel, how told you earlier in my sefer, Midole Kadmonim, from the greatest rabbis, referring to the Ramban, and the Medrash Tanhuma, call Hamas Shem Ha'odam, that everything which happens to our ancestors, Zirmazul is Ne'em Achaleim, sign of what is going to happen to their children later on. My servant, Simon Abon. Veronena, let's reflect, says Rav Teichtel. The Maisa Yaakov, which is Yaakov, the Milchomer in Maisa Bochim, who wants to do war with his brother Esau, who Hila Udo Noda Miyin Natsayaku Miyin Semena Milchomer Menutza, and if he goes to war with Esau, he doesn't know, is he going to be victorious? Or is Esau going to be victorious? Al came there. Before he fought the battle with Esau, Stanley Bolid Oglem Omono, Ochashbi Agia Papov, he was anxious. Every property which he had under the front of his own brow, Shalo Yipol Bidei Esau, should not fall into the hands of him. I worked for it. I'm not going to leave it behind. I am going to take it with me. Of the matter is, Abu Yodo la Havir Momono mi Pene Aesop with a Hatilo mi Yodo. Not one atom of his did he leave behind for Aesop. He went back even and passed him Kitan. He got the whole lot out. Aesop had not one item of from Yaakov other than the gift that Yaakov sent him. V'hamedrish gilo lono hastib. And Edges is telling us the reason. V'hatanam, sh'omu b'yodo l'hatil mamonim imenu. He is telling us Yaakov's secret. How is it that Esau didn't get a groove? He didn't end up with anything belonging to Yaakov. Yaakov got a whole lot away from him. Do you know how he'd managed to do that? The Yaakov tomid also atmo kegesh, because Yaakov always made himself like a bridge. Dilegesha yesh te raglayim, a bridge is got 2 feet. Regalachas mifas no hoze, 1 foot is on this side of the liver, and another foot on the other side. That's what is mentioned by the Medrash. Yaakov Avinu. Tomid omad beregel achas bisvas eber hanoho shahoyot o eretz Yisrael uberaglo hasnia omad vitzad shahomad eisefoy.
Esau never stood with 2 feet in Golos. He was in Golos. He had 1 foot in eretz Yisrael.
Goram lo, and that scoffer was the cause. Hell, they called Rechusha Liyarifitah, then he managed to bring all his property back to him. Zilo, and he saved the Chilo Yipol Bidei Esau so that it shouldn't fall into the hands of him.
Yaakov Avinu Bitzad Sheyon Abbas of the Slay Raglov. Never stood in Goros beside his brother Esau with
Elabasad Pula.
foot, for your omed be'eber ha'kseini, he stood on the other side, shehi eretz Yisrael, uve'karo ha'shniya, for your omed be'avir eretz temega. One foot was in eretz Yisrael, one foot was in God. Al-kein ola be'yodo li'tol mikan, u'lohoniach mikan. That's why he had the zechus to be able to rescue all his property from chutz la'oret and to bring it over to eretz Yisrael. Aval, however, im ha'yomri tamid b'shteil adlo v'yatzo shaleisof, had Yaakov Avinu stood all the time with his 2 feet in Golos, then he would never have been able to rescue his property from Chutz to bring it to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Medrash and Rashi are telling us. When they say, Asa Asmo Kekes. It doesn't mean he stood 1 foot here and 1 foot there. It means he was a Ben Eretz Yisrael, even in Chutz La'aretz. No, Lomar, it comes to tell us, Kol Yomav Hayok Kegeser. Every moment of his life, was the bridge between Golos and Eretz Yisrael. He was a bit in Chutz La'aretz, but he was also partly in Eretz Yisrael. Asher Baraglo Hoachas Omad B'Eretz Yisrael. 1 foot was in Eretz Yisrael. So the Libo Hoyusham and his head were there. Lahavir Mamona Lasham with the eventual intention of bringing his property to there. The King Gamola B'Yoda, that's why he was successful. Kena Nachnu Bono. So it is with his children. Il mole hoyinu omdim, had we stood, birashenu uvelibenu po, biartos agola b'shtei ragleinu, were it not for the fact that we have sat in Golos with our head and our heart and our 2 feet, ad sheshochachnu legamrei meyartenu hakadosha, to the extent that we have forgotten Eretz Yisrael as our eventual destination. Oslo hoyo momoneinu, no filvi de yesa. Then we would not have had to abandon everything that we have ever earned in Golos and leave it behind for the goyim. Oy no lonu, woe to us, al momon Yisroel shebiyadso seiropa. Property belonging to Jews in the lands of Europe, Senofal v'deyesa, which has fallen into the hands of it. Hama hayino yecholim, how much would we be able to lift down to redeem? For there is no Masino and to rebuild our land out Masino Akadosa, the Mamon there with that money. Bechol ze nigram lonu, and all that has happened to us has happened yan sheyomadnu b'shtei ragleinu b'yartu tagola. Lived in Golos with our 2 feet in Golos. Tachnu miyod ayechivoseinu begolos, and we trusted that all would be well with us when we stayed in Golos. Vehitachnu daaseinu meyartseinu v'nachaloseinu, and we kept our thoughts away from our land and our inheritance. V'lo yaseinu kamosha yosa Yaakov. We didn't do like Yaakov did. Shelo amad bagola elorat for regalachas, who only stood with 1 foot in Golos. Uberaglo haklia omad b'yeres hakadosha, and what he stood in Eretz Yisrael. For hoyuein of Alibo Shaman, his eyes and his heart were always there. Alkein lo sholtu zorin b'momo no, that's why no goyim ever got a hold of his property. He brought it all safely back to Eretz Yisrael. Avol anachnu lo asinu. But we didn't follow his example. Alkein higanu lamar shihiganu. That's why what has happened to us has happened to us. V'zeh hoyo b'yochreinu, and it's all our fault. My friend, that's got to be something to think about. Kol Yomov Oso Atmo Kegesha. His entire life was a bridge. I'm here in Golos, over no mitain foot. The other foot I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Something I would consider to be compulsory reading out of Yom Ha'atzmaut. We'll leave it over for the season. He died in the Shoah. He wrote this in the 1930s.